In sports, the Cubs will finish their series against the Diamondbacks tonight, and Chicago is aiming to avoid a sweep. Arizona has defeated the Cubs in the last two games. Chicago's hoping that All-Star Alfonso Soriano will be activated from the disabled list in time for the game. The St. Louis Cardinals will try to snap the Milwaukee Brewers' six-game winning streak. The Cards tonight host the Brewers. The Brewers are one game behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Brewers have purchased the contract of Jay Gibbons from the Long Island Ducks of the Independent Atlantic League and plan to ship the former Baltimore Oriole to their AA affiliate in Huntsville, Alabama. The 31-year-old Gibbons was released by the O's in March after he hit a .189 with no home runs and four RBIs in 16 spring training games. Today's a big day for White Sox pitcher Clayton Richard. He's to make his major league debut when the Sox face the Texas Rangers in a three-game series. The Sox are 1.5 games ahead of the second-place Minnesota Twins in the AL Central. Candace Dupree had 20 points and 9 rebounds to lead the Chicago Sky to a 68-60 win over the Indiana Fever yesterday. Indiana has lost 6 of its last 7 road games. Colts coach Tony Dungy says he's certain Peyton Manning's knee will be ready by the start of the regular season. Manning had surgery last week to remove an infected bursa sac. And 6-time Pro Bowl linebacker Brian Urlacher says he's ready to play and isn't concerned about his neck 6 months after he underwent minor surgery. That's a look at sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Illinois, hosting a lifelong learning program developed specifically for adults over 50. Additional information on programs available at 244-9141.
It's 242. A popular drug for men may help women. There's new research suggesting that Viagra may help women deal with one of the more difficult side effects of antidepressants, diminished sexual function. But even some of the researchers caution there is more research to be done. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports.
How many women being treated for depression lose some or all sexual functioning depends on whom you ask. Some experts say 40% of women on drugs like Zoloft or Prozac or Effexor. Some say 60%. Some say even more. Julia Hyman, who heads the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University, points out one thing that almost everyone agrees on. It's about what some women on antidepressants do if they have the side effect.
They may stop taking their medication, and that may be a serious outcome for them.
Their depression may come back. Hyman is one of the authors of a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. With funding by the manufacturer Viagra, she and other researchers monitored 98 women with depression relieved by antidepressants, but who had sexual dysfunction. Half took Viagra.
It seemed important to pay attention to sexual side effects and see whether or not this could be one method of helping alleviate them, at least for a subgroup of these women.
There are reasons to think Viagra would not help. A large study failed to show any benefit in women who weren't depressed but who had sexual dysfunction. In fact, manufacturer Pfizer withdrew an application to the Food and Drug Administration to market the drug to women. To Hyman, the new study is more promising.
What the study found is that the majority of women showed improvement in their sexual functioning. What that means is, on a combined measure of how well they were doing sexually, they improved a lot in their overall response and enjoyment of sex.
But other researchers have their doubts. Psychiatrist Richard Balan is with Wayne State University.
I think it's an important study, and it's important to do studies like this, but the results are not very impressive.
He's got two problems.
Number one, the number of patients in this study is relatively small. And number two, even though it is statistically significant, the question is whether it is clinically significant.
That is, could the women tell the difference? Study co-author Hyman said the effect was enough for women to notice, but she agrees that more work needs to be done.
This study certainly doesn't answer all questions, and frankly, it should be replicated. It's not that this study makes no claims to be in any way the final word. It's just a word. And maybe a comment that needs to be made for women for whom both feeling better from their depressive symptoms is important, but so is the way in which sexuality fits into their lives.
In a statement, Viagra manufacturer Pfizer said the drug is licensed only for use in men, and it has no plans to renew its efforts to earn approval to market Viagra for women. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.
A question about Viagra has played a role in the presidential campaign. The question was directed at Senator John McCain. It drove at issues of fairness between men and women. It also relates to the topic of abortion, a subject that makes a difference in hotly contested states. Here's NPR's Julie Rovner.
McCain's difficult moment began a couple of weeks ago. Carly Fiorina, one of his top advisors, complained about health insurance plans that cover Viagra for men, but not prescription birth control for women. 2 days later, a reporter on McCain's bus asked him about Fiorina's comments and about his Senate vote against legislation to require insurance coverage for contraception.
I guess her statement was that it was unfair that health insurance companies cover Viagra but not birth control. Do you have an opinion on that?
I don't know enough about it to give you an informed answer because I don't recall the vote. I cast thousands of votes in the Senate.
McCain looked very, very uncomfortable. And if you haven't seen that footage, chances are you will. Planned Parenthood has already turned it into a television ad. Abortion rights groups are trying to demonstrate that while McCain may be a moderate on many issues, reproductive health is not one of them. Nancy Keenan is president of the group NARAL Pro-Choice America.
On the issue of reproductive choice, he's neither a moderate nor a maverick. He's wrong. And I think we will work very hard to make sure that people in this country understand how extreme he is on this issue.
McCain's abortion position is not something he's tried to keep secret.
How do you feel about overturning Roe versus Wade?
I do not support Roe v. Wade. It should be overturned.
And if he's elected president, McCain has said he'll choose Supreme Court justices like those who've already cast votes to restrict abortion rights.
I will look for people in the cast of John Roberts, Samuel Alito, and my friend, the late William Rehnquist, jurists of the highest caliber.
Even so, McCain is still seen as suspect by many Christian evangelical voters. He supports embryonic stem cell research, for example, which makes him less than 100% pro-life. But he does have the unequivocal support of the biggest anti-abortion group, the National Right to Life Committee. David Osteen is the group's executive director.
He has a strong pro-life record against abortion. He voted to ban partial birth abortion. He opposes using taxpayer funds to pay for abortion. He supports parental notification.
Democrat Barack Obama's pro-choice position is pretty much the polar opposite of McCain's.
What I've said is that women should make the decision in consultation with their priest or pastor, their doctor, their family members, and in consultation with their beliefs. And I believe that most women don't make that decision lightly.
Obama got in a little trouble of his own on the issue earlier this month. In an interview with the Christian magazine Relevant, Obama seemed to suggest he was open to putting limits on health exceptions for later abortions.
I have repeatedly said that I think it is entirely appropriate for states to restrict or even prohibit late-term abortions as long as there is a strict, well-defined exception for the health of the mother. Now, I don't think that mental distress qualifies as health of the mother. I think it has to be a serious physical issue that arises in pregnancy in which, you know, there would be real significant problems to the mother carrying that child to term.
That prompted a few complaints from feminists, including some who questioned Obama's pro-choice voting record during his years in the Illinois State Senate. But mainstream groups like NARAL and Planned Parenthood are essentially looking the other way. NARAL's Nancy Keenan called the comment
one of those moments that I think just happens that it's misinterpreted, because he is right on the health exception and he is right on reproductive choice and he is going to be there for us 100%.
And National Right to Life's David Osteen says Obama is being disingenuous in even suggesting he would support stricter health exceptions. That's because he also supports past Supreme Court decisions and current bills in Congress that would allow health exceptions simply for mental distress.
So for him then to turn around to hedge and pull back and indicate that he doesn't support abortion for mental health reasons while he's pledged so strongly to Doe and Roe and co-sponsored the Freedom of Choice Act, just doesn't hold water.
What this all means is that neither candidate needs to worry about their base on this issue, but both have potential weaknesses. McCain with more moderate women, and Obama with Hillary Clinton supporters still suspicious of his feminist credentials. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Senator Barack Obama is receiving a skeptical reception in the Middle East today. It would seem that both Israelis and Palestinians, have their reasons to question him. But that's apparently not the case in Germany, where Obama appears tomorrow. A headline in the paper Der Spiegel says, Germany meets a superstar. Its website describes Obamamania, and up to 1 million Germans are expected to greet him. Kyle James reports.
If Barack Obama were running for president in Germany, he'd already have this election wrapped up, says Berlin resident Sabine Peschen.
He belongs to the right party, he's young, he's black, and he gives great speeches. We all trust a young guy like that more than some old veteran.
At this voter registration stand for American expats in central Berlin, Germans often stop to express their presidential preference. Hardly anyone says they support John McCain. And a new survey by Der Spiegel found that 76% of Germans think Obama's the better candidate. Only 10% are for McCain. American Robin Hemingway is manning the voter registration stand for the Democratic Party.
The Germans accept him almost in rock star category. It's like he made their favorite album and they want to come and see him.
They'll have that chance on Thursday evening when Obama gives a speech on the future of transatlantic relations in central Berlin. But this heavyweight political talk is becoming more like a rock concert. City officials say up to 1 million people could show up. A plan for Obama to speak at the Brandenburg Gate proved controversial. So now the likely Democratic candidate will be speaking at the Victory Column in the Tiergarten Park, best known as the place Berliners like to party.
From Germany, give it up for Team Schwarz!
For years, a huge techno party, the Love Parade, was held here. Matthias Matusek of Der Spiegel says that's perfect for Obama's Berlin debut.
It certainly says something about the relationship of Berliners and Obama. They want to go on the Love Parade together, and I'm sure they will.
Germans are expecting a lot from Obama, and comparisons are being made to another talk given here by a politician 45 years ago.
In the world of freedom, the proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
John F. Kennedy's I Am a Berliner speech from 1963 cemented the close bond between Germany and America. Those ties have been strained under the Bush administration, and even young Germans, like 20-year-old Felix Laban, really want that old relationship back.
I think Obama can be a real, like a new Kennedy, who really affects the people, who really... Yeah, it's like a new star for the people and brings a positive image of America across to the Germans.
One German is sending a positive image in the other direction, in doll form. In his workshop, doll maker Marcel Offermann shows off some of his creations. Recently, he released a limited edition 14-inch Barack Obama doll, complete with blue tie and, yes, an American flag pin. They've been selling like hotcakes.
Germans and Europeans are yearning for a better relationship with the Americans, and Obama means a change in the relationship with Germany.
Offermann has sold about 800 of his Obama dolls, sending about half to the U.S. He says he's not interested in a McCain version. The Republican doesn't have the kind of style he could translate into a doll, he says, and he doesn't care much for McCain's politics either. For NPR News, I'm Kyle James in Berlin.
It's 2:54. There's a push in the dry cleaning industry to become more environmentally friendly, but this change can be a big risk for business owners. Kyle Norris talks to one dry cleaner who has made the change and who says he's not looked back, at least not yet.
Jim Gilligan is president of Snedeker's Cleaners, and for years, his business has used a chemical called perchloroethylene to clean clothes. Actually, let's just call it perk. It's pretty much what everybody calls it. Gilligan says he just did not like using perk, for lots of reasons. For one thing, he had to store the chemical in these big tanks.
It was hard to deal with. It was heavily regulated.
There was potential for spills and other types of disasters.
So PERC is a toxic air contaminant. There's evidence it can cause cancer as well as liver and kidney damage. Contact with PERC can cause all kinds of problems, like nausea, dizziness, skin irritation, loss of consciousness, even death. If PERC leaks into the soil or groundwater, it can be a disaster, partly because PERC is hard to extract from water. PERC was the industry standard for years, and today about 70% of American dry cleaners still use it. But there's a growing movement to stop using it and embrace greener techniques. Gilligan had heard about some of these newer, eco-crunchier techniques, but he'd also heard that they did not work as well as PERC. And then he visited another dry cleaning plant. Its owner had switched from using PERC to using liquid silicone, which is basically liquefied sand.
That gave me a confidence, right? That was because we'd been hearing from the industry as a whole that it didn't clean as well. And, of course, it's great moving into a green technology, but if your customers wind up dissatisfied and you go out of business, then that would sort of defeat the purpose.
Gilligan says he was impressed with how well liquid silicone cleaned garments, so he made the big switch, got rid of his PERC machines, and he bought a new machine that used liquid silicone to the tune of $80,000. And as he gathered his employees to show them the new machine, he did something kind of kooky.
I actually took a little cup and I drank it.
The liquid silicone, the stuff that cleans the clothes, dude drank it. Says it tasted like salty vegetable oil.
Everyone was shocked to see that, but I just wanted to show them that how confident I was that this was a safe technology.
And since that shot of liquid silicone, Gilligan hasn't had any issues. His customers tell him they're happy with the results. And financially, he's done really well this year. But not all dry cleaners are ready or willing to take this kind of risk. Dry cleaning is a tough business to make a profit in. So plenty of cleaners want to stick with what they know works, which for a lot of them is using PERC. In fact, there's sort of this tension in the industry these days. It's sort of between the old schoolers, the cleaners who use PERC, and the new schoolers, people trying out newer, greener methods. Chris Allsbrooks is with the Dry Cleaning and Laundry Institute.
And right now our mix is changing because there's more people coming into the industry as some of the people with the older views are leaving the industry.
And the laws are changing too. California has said that PERC can no longer be used by the state's dry cleaners by the year 2023. And New Jersey is considering following in California's footsteps. For Jim Gilligan, the switch was just the right thing to do, as a business owner and as someone who cares about the environment. He says now he breathes easier, and so do his employees. And his customers say that a green dry cleaner works for them. For the Environment Report, I'm Kyle Norris. The Environment